One of the benefits of being a quick fill-in preacher is nobody expects very much. They don't figure that I have a time to do a lot of preparation, and so it's going to be a short lesson. There's only 3 pages of notes here. Don't have to worry about that. But I thought that the thing that Brian spoke about this morning, commitment, is an important topic, and I don't want to step on his toes, and I have no idea what he has planned to preach for the next 3 Sunday mornings. But I thought I would expand a little bit by an example, that business about commitment. And as you've just heard read, Caleb is the person that I have chosen to use to illustrate that. Another reason is I have firsthand knowledge of the things that he did, so they're pretty familiar with me. You will notice in that Caleb, what happened? Well, I'll just talk. Okay, thank you. You notice that Caleb made mention of a promise that was made to him in regard to a land. That's a little too high. Thank you. He was promised a certain section of the land once the Canaan was taken. Caleb also was one of the 12 spies that went in. That's still a little high. Would you turn it down, please? I can hear it echoing. Why don't I just take the mic off and use that one? All right. I don't think he wants to hear me. He was one of the 12 spies that went into Canaan. And as a result of them going there and seeing what was there, 2 of the spies came back, Joshua and Caleb, and reported that the land was one that would be worth having. That land was handpicked by God, and it was promised to them, and all they had to do was to go in and take it. It wasn't going to be an easy thing. There were going to be some battles that had to be fought when they went in. But God had picked the land for them and knew that they could take the land with his help. Caleb was present when they left Egypt. We don't hear about Caleb too much until we get into the book of Joshua, although there are references to him in Numbers and Deuteronomy and even in Exodus. But it isn't until we actually get into the book of Joshua that he actually takes a part, a prominent part. In fact, it's this 14th chapter, and it seems like the focus kind of changes from Joshua and the dividing of the land that's about to happen and all of the things that have transpired that caused the children of Israel to go into Canaan in the first place. And he had in his memory seeing miracles performed. He had crossed the Red Sea on dry land. He was there when Moses parted the Red Sea and saw that great thing happen. Being one of the 12 spies, he actually had gone into Canaan, and they had walked through the land. They may not have walked through every acre of it, but they had made a tour of it in order to be able to assess what the land was like. And he had a vivid memory of that. And when they came back and the 2 spies said, "We need to go in and take it," the nation of Israel as a whole chose rather to follow what the other 10 said. And that was, there are giants in the land. We can't take it. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. And just were full of self-incompetence. And as a result of that, the Israelites chose, rather than take the land, to wander 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't actually choose that, but it was because of their choice that that was the result. Can you stop and think what was going through Caleb's mind, and probably Joshua's too, during that 40 years or so of wandering, and then the 5 or 6 years of taking the land after Moses died? They had a visual idea of just what the land was, how important it was, what it had that they could benefit from. And I can imagine that Caleb, seeing and remembering carrying back the grapes or whatever he did when the spies came back and showed those things, that he still had that memory. Perhaps it was burned on in his mind. And all of those 45 or 46 years of the wandering and the taking of the land, he was itching to get to have that reward that had been promised to him. But the man is 85 years old. It has been 45 years. I don't know what it's like to be 85 years old. But I'm getting close, and it doesn't feel too good. And I can remember that I used to do things a whole lot faster and easier than I can do them now. Could hear better, too, and had more hair. But the thing is, Caleb, on this occasion, when they're ready to divide the land, goes up to Joshua and asks if he remembers the promise that was made. And, of course, Joshua does. And he asked for Hebron. He asked for that mountainous region. I don't know what there was about that particular spot that Caleb wanted. But that's the one he picked. And so it was given to him. Now, what was it about an 85-year-old person who had spent a good bit of his life wandering around in the wilderness because of what someone else did? Joshua and Caleb being the only two that of the adult generation that were allowed to go into the land. Not even Moses was allowed to go into it. And it's been so long. Well, I think it's commitment. I think he had a reason for that. You know, if we were to make a comparison to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, to our Christian life, there's a very, very close similarity there. Have you stopped to consider that what happened with the Israelites when they came out of Egyptian bondage was they were freed. They were freed from the bondage. They were freed from being under the thumb of the Egyptians. They were freed from all the toil and hard labor that they were doing that benefited someone else. So they were free. But freedom doesn't come without a price. They had to pay the price. And that happens today. Just as God had picked the land for them and had given it to them, promised them they could have it. It's just a matter of going in and taking it. He has promised us as Christians a home in heaven. It's there. It's waiting for us. It's been prepared. And all we have to do is take it. There's a close similarity there. Now I wonder, As the land of Canaan was described as being a paradise of sorts, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was abundant in the produce that it generated and that was grown there. And it looked like a place that that you would want to be living. What if we were to send 12 spies to heaven and let them spy out the place. And then come back and report to us and tell us whether or not it's worth taking. What do you suspect would be the result of that? Obviously, it can't be done. And obviously, heaven is so much greater than the land of Canaan. But the attitude of people is the same now as it was then. I'm convinced, based on what I have seen, that there would be those who would be skeptical and say, it's just too much. We can't do it. We can't get there. The cost is too high. It'll take too long. A number of problems. But there would be some, like Joshua and Caleb, who would say it was well worth it and that we need to take it. And it's because of the commitment that they have that would enable them to take it once they had made that decision that they had to or wanted to. There's one thing in the reading that Tyler read that I want you to pay attention to. It is said in that reading three different times that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Did you notice those when he read that reading? In verse 8 of chapter 14, in verse 9, it's repeated. And then in verse 14, when the promise is fulfilled, it's repeated again. That Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Now, what that means, literally, making the definition of those words from the Hebrew, is the literal meaning is to close the gap. So to wholly follow the Lord is drawing close to Him. The closer you can be, the better it will be. Not standing far away. Caleb was wholly following the Lord. He was as close as he could be. Physically, no. But because of what he believed and because of what he felt and because of his commitment, he was right there as if he were standing next to him. And I guess that what we could say about that is that every inch of Caleb, every ounce of his weight, every fiber of his being, every nerve was close, and it belonged to God. That's commitment. That's total commitment. And there was nothing that could sway him from that. I read somewhere that Julius Caesar, when he took his army to the land of England and crossed the sea to get there, He took his whole army off of the ships on the beach there under the cliffs of Dover, which is where they landed. And they went up beside the cliff and got up on top of the cliff, and he had his men walk back to the cliff and look down at the water. Now, while they were moving and getting up there to where they would be able to see from that vantage point, he had already given orders to the sailors on the ship to go home. So what these folks, this army of his, saw when they looked down there, probably much to their astonishment, the ships were leaving. Now that's commitment. They had nothing that they could do except to turn around and advance. And that's what they did. and they took England because they had no place else to go. Today, you've probably seen people that seem to be committed to the Lord, that they seem to be Christians in most ways, but they've kind of got an escape plan just in case it don't work out. There's something they can fall back on. That's not commitment. We need to do more about that. I believe, as I said, Caleb was totally committed. There's a second thing that Caleb was, and that is he was full of confidence. I've written down a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'll just read it. It says, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth, and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give to your fathers, save Caleb. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." I believe there are 6 times in the Old Testament that that phrase, "wholly followed the Lord," is repeated. In this particular case, Moses was speaking at the time that the 12 spies had come back and that the people had already decided that they were not going to go into Canaan. And this is the speech that Moses made. And he spoke specifically in this particular part of that speech about Caleb. Now, a little bit later, he talks about Joshua because there's 2 of them, of course, that were the good spies. And so Caleb was a confident man. He knew what he could do. He makes the statement that was read to us that even though he is 85 years old, he can still see. He's still strong. He can still move, and he can still fight. And so he is prepared to take the land, Hebron, the mountain, because he knows that God will be with him. He knows that God has promised that to him. And therefore, he's confident that he can take it and that he will take it. Others complained, not him. You know, faith is comprised of a lot of things. But faith is not positive thinking. I know you've heard that expression. Faith is not optimism. Faith is also not looking on the bright side. Faith is more than that. Faith is acting on what God says. Faith is believing strong enough that you're willing to actually step out and do what it takes. That's the kind of person Caleb was. He was committed. That commitment produced confidence in him, and he knew that he could do it. And thirdly, besides that, we have Caleb's courage. Not much is said up until now about his courage other than the fact that he went with the spies and he gave a good report. But now here he is at an older age, getting ready to go take the mountain he has been promised. He has received permission from Joshua to do that. And so he goes and he does it. He had 3 obstacles that he had to overcome. He had to overcome the grasshoppers. It wasn't just an easy thing. He really had to do some fighting and win some battles. And there were probably those who thought he couldn't do it. There were those that thought, well, we just can't. there's too many of them, or they're too powerful, or they're too strong, or whatever. But he went. He had to overcome the giants. We have giants in our lives. Our giants may not be big people that are powerful and overpowering, but rather our giants may be discouragement or financial problems or sickness or family or distress or despondency or depression. We would have to overcome those and be courageous in spite of those things, like he was. Courageous means being inventive, doing what it takes to get the job done, and having the courage to stick with it long enough to make the job work. I don't know how many of you remember Jerry Clower. Remember Jerry Clower, the comedian? He had a pretty big family. One of the members of his family was Uncle Ledbetter. And I don't know, Hee Haw or one of those shows that he was on years ago, he told a story. And the story was that his uncle had a mule, a very, very good mule, a very smart mule. But somehow or other, the mule fell in the well. And Uncle Ledbetter couldn't get the mule out of the well. The well was deep, and the mule weighed too much. He tried a few different things trying to get the mule out, and it didn't work. And finally it dawned on him that mule was smart. The mule's name, I think, was Della. And he said, Della is the smartest mule I've ever seen. She knows how to get out of that well. All I have to do is provide the way. And so he took a shovel and he put one scoopful of dirt into the well. And then he took the shovel and put another scoopful of dirt in the well. When those scoopfuls of dirt landed on Della, she kind of shook them off and stomped her feet a little bit. I took all day and all night and all the next day, but finally he had put enough dirt in that well and she had shook it all off and pounded it into the ground that she was able to step out of the well onto the land, up onto the ground, out of the well. Now that's, I guess, a poor example of having the determination to keep doing what you have to do. When all else fails, do what you have to do. Finally, Caleb realized he needed some help. And he offered his daughter, I'm assuming she was good looking, to whoever it was that could go up and take the last city. A man by the name of Othniel, young man, I think he was her cousin. I may be mistaken about that. Ended up taking the land. And when he did, Caleb gave him his daughter to be his wife. And while you may not know it, probably you do, a few years later, after the Israelites had gone into the land of Canaan and they had occupied it and taken it, they remained faithful as long as Joshua and the people who, the elders who lived or outlived Joshua, were still alive. I don't know how long that was. I think probably about 20, 25 years. But at any rate, soon after all of those folks died, the Israelites began to murmur, and they began to look at the Canaanites and intermingle with them, and they eventually corrupted themselves to the point where something needed to be done. So God gave the Canaanites more power so that they could cause harm to the Israelites, his own people, to test them, is the way it's recorded. And they failed that test because they didn't have the courage. They didn't have the commitment to follow the Lord. So God raised up or began to provide a series of judges that judged the land. You remember the first one's name? Othniel, the same young fella who took the land, the last city for Caleb. God fulfills his promises. He's promised us a home. It's already there. It's already prepared. All we have to do is take it. Do we have the determination, the courage? Do we have the commitment to do it? All it takes is following God's word, living a life, and then going in. Well, that's it. It may be that there are some here. I realize most of you here, if not every one of you, are Christians. But sometimes even Christians can lose that commitment. Things can crop up in our lives that can cause us to wonder, our thoughts to go astray. And we begin to have second thoughts, and most of the time those are bad. And fortunately for us, God has promised us a way to even get rid of those, to repent of any wrong that we've done, and to once again recommit our lives. And he will do that as often as it takes, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. If you're subject to the invitation, this would be a good time to do something if you need it. And if so, just come forward as we sing.